word will give you wisdom for tomorrow. Today, His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know He's sovereign in His ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider His word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to our program today. We want to be a blessing to you and hope that we can help you in some way as we consider the Word of God today. Well, we begin a new series, and I don't know how long this series will take us. I imagine it's going to take us probably a couple of months, and I hope you'll stay with us every time this program is broadcast. We'll be posting it on the website at www.considerhisword.org, so you'll be able to follow them there if you miss any of them, or if you have to skip one, you'll be able to follow the programs there. Our new study is going to be in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Initially, we're going to call it With Jesus in the Upper Room. These are such important chapters in the Scripture, and I believe that it's valuable to our time to go look at these passages of Scripture. You see, they're important because these are some of the last words that Jesus said before He was arrested in the garden at Gethsemane. John 14, 15, and 16 all take place as the disciples are with Jesus. Initially, we're in the upper room. At the end of John 14, we make a move and we begin walking down through the olive gardens of the Kidron Valley. And we'll get to that eventually. For now, we want to begin in John chapter 13. And before we get to that, I do want to take care of a couple of things. First of all, go visit our website. Again, www.considerhisword.org. A lot of things you'll find there, a lot of sources that you'll find there. One of the things I want to encourage you to do is to contact us. And I'm going to do this for the next month or so. In fact, I'm going to do it until our supplies run out. Along with these series, I'm going to be giving away Gospel of John absolutely free. Free postage. All you have to do is write to us. This is a Gospel of John that you can hold in your hand. You can put in your pocket. You can read it as you desire. We're going to be spending a lot of time in the book of John, and so this will give you a great way to follow in these broadcasts. You'll also receive a personal note from me encouraging you in the Word of God. So a couple of ways you can get this Gospel of John. The best way is to go to the website and just contact us and request it. Give us your name and address, and we'll be glad to send you out. Now, it's limit one per letter, so don't ask me for a whole bunch of them. I'll send you one copy of the Gospel of John. You can also write to me here at the reservation. Now, for now, the address is kind of lengthy, so just bear with me, and I'll give it to you a couple of times. You can write to me at Consider His Word, 30290 Josie Billy Highway. Let me give you that part again. 30290 Josie Billy Highway. You'll need to add PMB for personal mailbox 40. The city is Clewiston, Florida. C-L-E-W-I-S-T-O-N, Florida. The zip is 33440. Now, we're working on a simpler address that we'll be able to give you hopefully in a week or two. In the meantime, you can write to us at the address or contact us through the website, www.considerhisword.org, and just request the Gospel of John. We're going to be happy to send it to you. So we're going to begin today actually in John chapter 13. While our focus is going to be on 14, 15, 16, chapter 17 is when Jesus prays in the garden. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. Some call it, the Garden of Gethsemane prayer. And then in the end of John 17, John 18 is when Jesus is arrested and taken, first of all, of course, to the court of the Sanhedrin. By way of introduction, we're going to begin in chapter 13. Let me go ahead and read a little bit of this. John chapter 13, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. John said, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the very end. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." Now I want you to notice that already in John chapter 13, Jesus knows what is coming. He knows that soon, before this night is over, as the dawn rises in the morning. Now, Jesus and the disciples here pull an all-nighter. These chapters happen all through the night, the day before Jesus was arrested. And so before his arrest in the morning, Jesus knows what is coming. He knows that he will be arrested. He knows that he will be betrayed. He knows that he will be questioned, that he will be beaten. He knows all of these things. He knows he'll be crucified. The greatest of all, he knows that he'll be resurrected on the third day. And so in these chapters, Jesus does several things. First of all, he tries to prepare the disciples for what's coming. They really don't know. They have followed Jesus now for some 3.5 years. They have listened to his teaching. They have seen the miracles. They have been his companion day and night. Jesus has said many things to them. But now in these last hours, as Jesus is trying to prepare them for what is to come, he tries to warn them of his coming death. And sadly, at this point, the disciples really aren't getting a good picture or a complete understanding of what's going on as Jesus tries to explain to them and prepare them for what's coming. The second thing Jesus does is give the disciples many promises. And it's these promises especially that we want to focus on in these chapters. Jesus said many things. In these chapters, in John 14, 15, and 16, we have the promise of heaven in the first part of John 14. We have the promise of his peace. We have the promise of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. We have the promises of resurrection. So many promises. And I especially want to point these out as we get to them in these chapters. As the disciples have been following Jesus, many things are happening. And in part of this preparation, the disciples and Jesus are meeting in the upper room. Now, John does not go into a lot of detail about the preparation of the upper room. We have to go back to Matthew and Mark and Luke and to the Synoptic Gospels to find those accounts of how Jesus sent two of the disciples into town and told them to go find a room and that somebody would show them where they are to meet. The Bible simply describes it as the upper room. I think that this was a room that was prepared for banquets. Now, the banquet they were coming to was not a retirement banquet or a banquet of Jesus ending his ministry necessarily. This was the Passover. They were preparing to celebrate the Passover together. Now, the Passover began way back in the book of Exodus when the children of Israel had been slaves in Egypt. And God rescued them. He sent Moses to them, and they had gone through 9 plagues. And now on the last one, Jesus told the people to go and prepare a lamb, to kill it, to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of the house and across the mantle of the door. And that night that God would come, he said that if he sees the blood, God said, "I will pass over you." Now, what happened on that fateful night many years ago is that every firstborn child of the Egyptians died. But those who had the blood of the Lamb on the door and a cross, I believe it was a foreshadowing of when Jesus would die on the cross, those would be spared. And after it happened, the God's people escaped from Egypt and began their journey in the Promised Land, or began their journey toward the Promised Land. As soon as this had happened, God told them to every year have a feast, have a memorial feast. When they would go back and remember, he gave them very specific instructions about the lamb. He gave them very specific instructions on how to dress. And even today, in Jewish families, they will celebrate the Passover. Now, it usually happens around this time of year. They celebrate the Passover. And so Jesus was no different, and his disciples were no different. The celebration of the Passover had been passed down through the scripture and had been passed down from family to family for generations. And now on this night, Jesus would celebrate this Passover with his disciples. And he was going to begin to prepare them. They would soon have an incredible ministry. And let's go back to the beginning of the chapter just briefly. The Bible says that Jesus knew that his hour was come. He said, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hours would come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. He knew his hour was come. He knew that his ministry on earth was coming to a close. There would be no more healings, except for when Jesus healed the servant of the soldier that had his ear cut off. But there would be no more messages. There would be no more great feasts like the feeding of the 5,000. His ministry was coming to an end. And he would be returning to the Father. Now remember, Jesus came from the Father. John begins his book that way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. He loved his people. He loved the disciples. And I can imagine as Jesus sat there and looked at each one of them one by one and recognizing who they were and how far they had come, the time they had spent together in ministry, the times that they had those hours together when he would speak to them about the church and speak to them about God and speak to them about the Father and speak to them about his ministry. And he would look at each one and remember them, and knowing that soon he would be going, he loved them. And the Bible says that he loved them to the end. And so what does this mean? Does this mean he loved them to the end of his life? Does it mean he loved them to the end of time? Or that to the outstretches of love? He loved them completely. Jeremiah describes God's love as an everlasting love. He loved them so much. And now he's got to tell them. He's going away. He'll come back again. And he has much to say to them. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at what Jesus said to these disciples. Very important words for us for today. Now our time is gone. I'm looking forward to this Bible study and hope you'll join us as we open the scripture and consider his word.
Consider his word.